If you would turn to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. I give honor to the bishop today. Appreciate him. We've got one of his friends that is preaching for us tonight. He has actually never preached for us, but Brother Steve Effley pastors up in Racine, Missouri. He is one of the best preachers that we have in our movement. He is an old-time camp meeting preacher. So please, please do not miss service tonight. I'm just telling you, you want to be here tonight. Service is at 6, prayer is at 5. Today, if you're already in Genesis, I'd like to start chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." Skipping ahead one chapter to chapter 2, verse number 7. The word says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The very beginning, your Bible, we see that God works through process. We see God create. We see that his creation was without form and void, but that was not the entire plan. That was not the end state of God's creation, for God intended to bring life, and we see that God brings life through creation and through breathing life into his creation. God will help me. I'd like to preach from this title, "When God Breathes." When God breathes. Would you lift your hands and pray across the house? God, I pray that you would help us today. God, strengthen me. God, strengthen my mind. Strengthen my voice. God, I pray that you would anoint my words. God, your word is perfect. Your word is anointed. Your word has power, God, to overcome any situation. God, to set any captive free. I pray that your word would have freedom in this place. Freedom in every heart. Freedom in every mind. God, I pray that you would strengthen us. God, set your people free. God, we give you the praise and the honor. Would you give God a hand clap of praise? Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated. The text that I've read and you're hearing today is a very familiar text. I would assume that everyone in the building has likely heard it or read it. Some of you have heard it preached from it many times. But this text, as you know, tells the story of creation. It tells how God in his power spoke the earth into existence. Within creation, wind and water were two of the five classic elements that we know of nature and existence. And in fact, within the first three verses of your Bible, God is at work through all five of the elements: earth, wind, fire, space, and water. Scripture says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens, space, and the earth." That the spirit, the wind, or the breath of God began to move over the waters, and that God said, "Let there be light." From the very beginning of Genesis, the first movement that you will find is the movement of the Spirit of God. That as the Spirit of God began to move upon his creation responded to what the Spirit was doing. That in the midst of what Scripture itself says was utter chaos and says was without order, without light, surrounded by darkness, that was where the Spirit chose to move. And what was not became, and where there was emptiness, now there was fullness. And in a world that had seemed to lack purpose and to lack poise, the Spirit of God brought existence and brought balance as the trees appeared and the animals were born, the fish came forth, as the mountains broke the surface of the waters, as the boundaries were set in place by God for the seas, as God divided the light, which he called day, from the darkness, which he called night. And God stepped back and smiled at his creation, for he had spoken a world into existence and he saw that it was good. But when God began to work on his masterpiece, he said, "I won't just speak man into existence. But man will be created in my image. Man will be formed in my likeness. And our scripture tells us that from the very dust of the earth that God began to form man. That Adam, who at this moment as he was formed was lifeless. He was the very first being of his kind. That every intricate detail of his DNA that God formed him, God crafted him according to his plan and his purpose. And his creation again was good and pleasing to the Lord. But again, I want to show you that God did not just speak Adam into existence, but when God formed him, he chose the most intimate of approaches. That this lifeless being of man, even now formed, was still incomplete. Even fully formed was not yet perfected. Because until the very mouth of God released the living powers to awaken the living soul of Adam, he was not complete. What was a body to see and behold was brought to life when the breath of God went through the nostrils of Adam and gave him purpose, gave him life. It was the literal breath of God that brought life into his creation. And at that moment, Adam became a living soul that would live forever and ever and ever and never perish. Now, everyone under the sound of my voice, whether you realize it or not, you were created in God's own image. God gave you his breath to exist. God gave you breath to live. But when God created you, it not only took the word of God, it not only took the hand of God, but it took the breath of God, which in the scripture is typified by the wind. It took the wind of God to give you life. Now, when the Spirit of God moved, Adam responded to the breath of God with his first breath of his own. But you must understand that even the first breath that came out of Adam's own body, out of his own lungs, was still a breath that was given by God himself. This is why every breath that you breathe should be a reminder of your need for God, of your dependence on God, because every breath you breathe was given by God himself. When God's creative power was unleashed in the midst of darkness, it symbolized his spirit moving in the midst of sin. It symbolized his spirit bringing illumination in spiritual darkness. Now, I want you to understand that today, if you've come into this building and you're living in sin, then spiritually you are living in darkness. Now, we want you to recognize your condition, because there is an answer to your condition. There is a remedy. But until you have fully surrendered and been obedient to the Spirit of God, then you're living in darkness. Your life is void of God's presence. Your life is void of his word, void of his spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that God is not working on you, but it means he's not yet working from within you. As in Genesis, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, but the waters responded to what the Spirit was doing, and something was brought forth from the midst of the waters as dry land appeared. God had been moving on the waters, and the waters brought forth. Now, there are people in the building that God has been moving on you. God's been moving on you all your life, and you've not yet brought forth what God intends to bring forth in you. Now, until God breathed the breath of life into Adam, Adam was nothing. Adam was nothing but a bag of was a corpse. He was completely without life until God breathed on him. Now, everyone under the sound of my voice, you need God to breathe life into you. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. You've got to live your life walking according to the Spirit of God. Now, the darkness in Genesis is implying, it's meaning chaos. It's referring to turbulence and unsettled motion. It's referring to a time, a period where mankind would have observed no plan if he were there to see on that day. But God had a plan. Now, there are some today that you feel like your life is unsettled. You feel like your life is in chaos. You feel like your life is empty. But if you feel this way, I've got good news for you today. Even when you don't see the plan, God is never without a plan. There's never one day of your life that you've lived that God was searching for a plan. But God has always had a plan for your life. God has always intended for his spirit to move in darkness and his spirit to shed light in the darkness. And when God begins to move, when his spirit begins to go forth, he begins to breathe life. Now, people here today that you feel empty. It's no wonder that you do the things you do. It's no wonder that you live the way that you live, because you're living without the Spirit of God inside of you. This is why when you don't have the Spirit of God, you feel that void, that chasm, that vacuum that tries to suck things in to fill it up. You try to fill it with relationship. You try to fill it with addiction. You try to fill it with career. You try to fill it with your own way, your own ambition. And even after all of that, you know that your life is still spinning helplessly out of control. And you can't seem to catch a breath. And you can't seem to catch a break. But I want you to know that God's got a plan. And when the wind of God comes forth, you'll see God's plan come to fruition in your life, because God's got purpose for you. And God's got a wind that He intends to breathe into your nostrils. I need some more. But you see, the answer to your problem, it's not in anything you could find in the world. It's not in your own way. It's not in your own plan. But the answer is the Spirit of God. The answer is the Holy Ghost. You need to know that God knows you. When the sparrow, if He knows a sparrow that falls, then surely you understand that He knows you by name, that He created you with purpose. And God said when it came to His most precious creation, not only does He see you every time you stumble and fall, but before you stumbled, God knew your name. And God knew that you would have problems. And God knew when you would cry. And God knew that you would hurt. And God knew that you would suffer. Hey, that gets my attention today, that God cares so much for me. That God knows the tears that hit my pillow. That God knows the frustration, the battles in my mind. Hey, you may be here. You may feel lost and hopeless. You may have just been invited in, but God drew you here. He said, no man can come into me except the Father draw him. God Himself reached and drew you to His house because God loves you and because God has a plan for you. Why don't you give God praise across the house? But you must understand that the working of the wind, the working of the Spirit in your life, He's not limited by your circumstances. He's only limited by your obedience to His Word. So many times we come and we feel this chaos, this emptiness, this need, and you can become convinced by the enemy that your need is too great, that the Spirit of God cannot or will not work for you. But you've got to understand that God is greater than your situation. God is greater than your struggle. There's no situation that God cannot fix. That God knows the details better than you do. And God's got an answer to every single detail, no matter how complex or no matter how minute it might seem to you. God has got the answer for your life. And when God begins to move, God brings answers. God brings revelation. But when God moves, you have to move. You have to respond to what God is doing. This is where in all of creation we see God creates, God moves, God's creation responds, because the first of God's creations had no will of its own. But then there came a day where God created His masterpiece, and the gift that He gave His masterpiece was the ability to choose whether or not to respond. So this is the hinge. This is the pivot point of your life. God is faithful and just. God changes not. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He will always create. He will always move. When He moves, He will always have purpose. But where things fall apart is when we don't respond. See, we've got to respond when God moves. That's why when you come into the house of God, it's imperative that you respond when the Spirit begins to move. This is why when the preaching goes forth, what do we say? We say, amen. We're saying, so be it. We're saying, hey, I'm involved. I'm connected with the preaching. I'm responding to what the Spirit, what the Word is doing in this place. How many are thankful for the Word today? I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that gives us life. But there is something within us. There's this intrinsic need within the soul of man to respond to the presence of God. People live their lives empty, not wondering what that void is. But the void is the need to respond in obedience and live your life in a way that is pleasing to God. We were created for God's glory, not to fulfill our own ambition, not to follow our own way, but we were created for the glory of God. So when you understand that God loves you, when you understand that God created you, you ought to respond to His love, respond to His plan. When you know that He loved you enough that the very reason He came to earth and sacrificed His life was so that you could be forgiven and so that you could live free. Hey, it puts a thankfulness in my heart. I need to respond. Hey, I don't care how many times we've heard it. There ought to be a need to respond. When you think that He gave His life on the cross for you, when you think that He was buried in a tomb for 3 days for you, when you realize that He rose again so that you could have new life, so that you could have freedom. Hey, I want to give God the praise. I remember where I was when He found me, that God picked me up. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me direction. He gave me purpose. He gave me freedom. How many are thankful for the presence of God in your life today? But you see, after His resurrection, He told the disciples, I want you to travel to Jerusalem and I want you to wait because there is a promise coming unto you and that promise will give you power. And they went and they began to tarry in this upper room and they were waiting and they had life in their body physically. But we know that spiritually these were still a lifeless people. But these people tarried and they waited. This 120 didn't just leave because it didn't happen on the day they got there or it didn't happen on their own timetable, but they said, hey, the promise is worth waiting for. The wind of the Spirit is worth waiting for. And they were waiting and they were in one mind. They were in one accord and they were prepared to respond. Now, this is why when you come to church, it's important that you prepare yourself to respond to what goes forth. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is powerful, but you have to open your heart and give the Word entrance so that the Spirit can move on you and give you life. So they prepared themselves to respond and the mouth of God began to breathe and the wind of God, which was the Holy Ghost, began to blow through that place and God began to breathe life into His people and to quicken them and to make them alive. Acts 2:1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were on the same page. It wasn't about their individual agendas, their individual problems. It wasn't about their infighting. It wasn't about their ambition. But they were in one mind and one accord because they were looking for new life. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Lest you forget, there's always a sound that is associated with the Spirit of God and with the wind of God. And it came like a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, don't you ever let anybody convince you that this is just a one-time blueprint, that this is the only time the Holy Ghost fell. If you keep reading through the book of Acts, you'll find that when the Holy Ghost arrives, people respond, they begin to speak in tongues, and there is an audible demonstration, an audible confirmation of the arrival of the Holy Ghost in someone's life. This is why we preach, you must repent, you must be baptized, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost for the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This is your response to the Spirit of God, that when the Spirit begins to work, creation responds. You respond with a sound. There's an audible demonstration of your obedience and your response to what God is doing, that when the wind begins to move and when the breath of God, the Spirit of God goes forth, you respond to what God is doing. But this is the literal breath of God that breathes life into His people and His church is born. And in that upper room, we read that there were a people that had expectation. And we read of how that sound came so suddenly and that it was the breath of God, the wind that blew through that upper room. And you must know that this is a thread that goes throughout all time, that the same breath and wind that entered the nostrils of Adam, it brought life to those that were gathered in the upper room. That today today we need the wind. The wind is still blowing. That the wind is still giving life to that which was dead, to that which was formless, to that which was void and chaotic and in darkness. When the wind begins to move, the wind is greater than your problems. The wind brings order in your chaos. The wind brings light in your darkness. I'm thankful for the wind today. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. But you see, until the Spirit of God has blown into your nostrils and given you new life, until you have received the Holy Ghost, you're in the same state spiritually that Adam was naturally. Adam was formed, but Adam had no life. There were the fingerprints of God on him. There was the plan of God in his life, but he had no life yet. He was a corpse. He was lifeless. But when the wind of God blew in his nostrils, God animated him. He had purpose. He had strength and power like he'd never had before. This is a natural picture of spiritual truth. Yes, we all have natural life in the building today, but until you have spiritual life, my friend, you're not really alive, because the spiritual is more real than the natural. The spiritual is what lasts. The spiritual is what gives you purpose and meaning and enables us to live life forever with him. It's a spiritual plan and not a natural one. The Holy Ghost is something that God wants to do in every life in the building. I don't care how far you are from him. God has got a plan and God has got a purpose, and God wants to breathe life into darkness. But we see the wind that blew through that upper room. The Holy Ghost again is the wind. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And when the wind arrived, they began to speak with other tongues. But we see that the wind that they were in could not, or the room that they were in rather, could not contain the wind that blew in the room. That when the winds of the Holy Ghost began to blow, it blew them right into the streets until 3,000 other people had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, when you get filled with this thing, you'll want to tell somebody. You won't just want to keep it to yourself, but it'll blow through you into somebody else. You'll want to teach somebody. You'll want to reach somebody. You'll want to tell somebody. You can't bottle it up, because we've got a treasure in earthen vessels, and the treasure works through us. It works through our own struggles, our own inadequacy, but it's the power of God that brings life. It's the Spirit of God that works through us. But this is how God's church was formed, the original church, the real church. Now there are some people today that will try to tell you that this is not necessary. They'll try to tell you that it's not essential. But I want you to understand, I want to be clear on this. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. It's very clear. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not optional. This is not just an outward sign of your inward faith, but this is something that is essential if you plan to make heaven your home. Romans 8:9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, that's a condition. So if the condition is not fulfilled, you're not in the Spirit, but you're in the flesh. All right, you live in the flesh until the Spirit arrives. The Spirit fulfills the condition. So when the Spirit dwells in you and lives in you, now you begin to live life spiritually. You begin to live life in a new way. Your actions are different. Your words are different. Your thoughts begin to change. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, if any man has not fulfilled this condition, he is none of his. Now, it's imperative that you understand this today. I'm not trying to be mean or harsh, but this is the truth. It's God's Word, and we're not going to sugarcoat it. We've got to understand what the Word says. So, there's a difference between being a creation of God and being a child of God. You'll find in your world today that everyone who believes in God will say that they are a child of God. Well, they're not understanding what it means to be a child of God. We're all a creation of God. Even the atheist, the agnostic, is a creation of God. But you're not a child of God. You don't belong to God until you have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the Holy Ghost. Now thank God the Holy Ghost is for everybody. This is not to exclude anybody. This is so everybody will be included in what God wants to give you. The gift of the Holy Ghost is for everybody in this world. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this is the truth of God's word. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now you got to understand, even if you're in that condition today, the plan is that you'll become one of his. God's not planning to exclude you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, you're here because God is drawing you, because God wants to seal you with the promise of the Holy Ghost. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. We talk about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, sealed with the Holy Ghost. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, we'll read later that some will come and say, Lord, we cast out devils, done many mighty works in your name. And he'll say, I never knew you. What that tells us, there will be a whole lot of people in the world that will say they belong to God. But when they see him, he'll say, you never belong to me, because he knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So here we see that it's more than just saying the name of Jesus. It's more than just claiming the name of Jesus. It's more than just believing in Jesus. But when you belong to him, you change your lifestyle. You change your actions. You depart from iniquity. You leave what you were to step into what God will have you to be. So there are damnable doctrines in our world that will tell you, well, just accept that Jesus is Lord. Just accept Jesus into your heart. Just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Well, this is why context is so important. First, you must understand that we don't build doctrines on a single verse, but the Bible contextualizes itself. You must understand that the book of Romans was written to a church who had already been blood bought, who had already been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You must understand that you cannot believe if you've not heard. You can't hear without a preacher. And that preacher can't preach except he is sent by God and speaking the true and holy word of God. So it's more than what you would just say audibly with your mouth, but your actions reflect what your heart truly believes. Now, I think we all have the ability to speak things that are not true. We're not God. We can't just speak things into existence like he did. But what we speak, there has to be some action that goes with it. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but how? By the Holy Ghost. So you cannot open your mouth and confess the Lord Jesus except that you have the Holy Ghost. So you can't be saved except you have the Holy Ghost, because you can't even understand that Jesus is Lord except you have the Holy Ghost, except you're sealed. Now, there are people that by their actions, by their doctrine, they make Jesus a curse. They relegate him to a lesser God. They relegate him to a demigod. He's saying if a man speaking by the Spirit of God, he's not going to call Jesus a curse. He's got to understand that Jesus is God. He's got to understand that Jesus is Lord. And the only way he can overcome all of these doctrines and all of this confusion, all of this misunderstanding, is by the Holy Ghost. So if you're in the building and you're not sure where you stand, you've got these gray areas doctrinally, and you're confused, hey, it's okay. It's the Spirit of God that breathes life. It's the Spirit of God that gives light and gives clear doctrine and gives understanding, where you can see that Jesus is the only true God and that there is no other way to be saved but by him. I don't know why anyone would want to follow God and not want the Spirit of God. This is why Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You wonder why you trip and fall flat on your face over and over. You got to learn to walk in the Holy Ghost. It's a process. The Holy Ghost leads you. The Holy Ghost teaches you, and eventually you stop falling the same way you used to fall because you're learning to walk in the Spirit. It's more than a touch of the Spirit, but now you're living your life in the Spirit, and the Spirit is dictating your actions. It's dictating the way you live your life. But why would anyone not want the Spirit of God? What is a body without life? What is a bride without her breath? What is a man without the Spirit of God? It was God's plan that He saw fit in order for creation to be complete, in order for Adam to be complete. God had to breathe on him. And it was God's plan that 120 gathered in an upper room for them to be complete, for them to go forward with power, that God would have to breathe on them and they would have to begin to speak with other tongues. Now, I want you to understand that the wind and the breath of God, they don't just give life to what has never lived before, but the wind, the Spirit of God, they can also resurrect something that was dead. There are people here that you know the feeling of the Holy Ghost, but you don't know what it's like to walk in the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's been a long time since you felt it, or maybe you just can't learn to live in it consistently, but God knows how to resurrect something that has died. God knows how to send the wind and give new life and give new direction and give new purpose and give new inspiration. We read in the book of Ezekiel as the prophet comes upon a valley of dry bones, and it seems to be the end of the road for all of these corpses, this ancient army, and they're lifeless, they're dead, they're scattered, they're void, if you will. But I want to read the story to you quickly. Ezekiel 37:4 says, again, he being the Lord said unto me, me being Ezekiel, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. So we see here, God's creation as in the beginning seems to be without form, it seems to be void, it seems to be without purpose, but God begins to breathe, and the breath of God gives new life. He says, when I breathe into you, you will live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise. Again, we see the noise that is associated with the wind, associated with the arrival of the Spirit of God. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Again, we see the original story. We see that God has formed man, but man is still lifeless. Man does not have breath. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. That the wind was the answer for a body that doesn't have life. He said, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now we see that the prophet did not argue with God. He did not argue with the instruction. He did not wonder here if it could be done. But when God spoke, he obeyed. This is our responsibility today, that when God speaks, we must respond to what the Spirit says. That when the word, the Spirit goes forth, there has to be something that happens in your heart, and you have to respond in obedience to what God is saying. So the wind brings birth, the wind brings resurrection. Now we know that man, the lips of a man, can speak repentance. Not only can they, but they must speak repentance. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord. That every man must repent of what he has been, repent of what he has done. We know that we can make some changes, we can improve things, that we can give God praise, that we can speak of the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the majesty of God. We can even prophesy under the Spirit of God when the wind comes. But when there's no wind in your life, there's no life in your body. Only God has the power to breathe spiritual life into you. You don't have the power to just live good enough that all of a sudden you've got new spiritual life. You don't have the power to just read the right book and make the right lifestyle changes and choices and all of a sudden you got new life. But it happens when you're broken and when you say, God, I can't live anymore without you, but I've got to have your presence. It's when you feel as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, oh God. It's when you become desperate for God and you shove everything else away and he becomes not only your first priority, but he's every priority. When you know he's everything that you need, that he's every answer to every problem in your life. When you know, hey, I've tried it every way and I've come up empty, but only God has the power to breathe into me. But see, the prophet Ezekiel, he spoke under the authority of the Holy Ghost, and flesh formed upon bones that were lifeless, and ligaments and tendons came together, but until breath came, there was no life, there was no movement. But when the wind arrived, creation responded. You see, the wind's in the house. The spirit is in the house, but you've got to respond. It's available to you. You tried to live without it. You tried settling for just looking the part, for just attending, for just kind of going through the motions. But I want you to know God's got a new life for you, and God's got a new way, and God's got a greater level of spiritual power and spiritual anointing to make you alive and to make you new. But see, after he had formed these things, Ezekiel 37 and 14, he said, I'll put my spirit within you and ye shall live. That the spirit is not the end of the story, but God puts his spirit in you for a purpose, so that you might live for him. We said that he died for you so that you might live unto him. The spirit is not, the bishop used to say, it's not your graduation diploma, but when you get the Holy Ghost, you've had a birth certificate. You've been birthed into a new way. You've got a new DNA. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus that should walk in a new way. But it's the wind, it's the breath, it's the spirit that gives life. Now, we must understand, and I'm close to being done, that we are completely incomplete, if you will, without the power of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is in the building. You don't have to go home and contemplate it. You don't have to go home and wish for it. But if you want the Holy Ghost and you're willing to be obedient and repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, if you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. John 20 and 22, and when he being Jesus, said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That we've all got to receive the Holy Ghost, and you can get it today. It's a promise. It's a gift that is to you. How many are thankful? You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to stay in your chaos, but God can breathe life into you. Hey, if there's some people you hadn't felt life in a long time, you've not felt a renewal of the Spirit of God, you need to get renewed in the power of the Holy Ghost today. And you can stand, if you will, across the house. Musicians, you can come. John 3 and 5. We read of Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees who was a ruler, who was an important man, who was an intelligent man, no doubt. He comes to Jesus with some questions, and he's asking how Jesus can do the things that he does. Where are these miracles, these signs and wonders? How can he be doing them except God is with him? And Jesus answers, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to understand, no amount of misexplanation taken out of text throughout the Bible can take away this verse. It's as simple as this from the words of Jesus Christ himself. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So everyone under the sound of my voice, you must receive the Holy Ghost. You must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in order to be saved. But the promise, again, it's unto you. It's to your children. It's to all that are afar off. So don't be discouraged. This is where I'd like to imagine that as Jesus spoke these words, well, I don't have to imagine it because the word says that Nicodemus was confused. But God reading into his mind, his heart, his reactions. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, why did he say this? Because Nicodemus did what we all do. He faced a problem he didn't understand, and he instantly began to try to work it out in his natural mind. He said, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? But see, when you come here, this is not something you can understand with your mind. This is something you just have to believe and obey and receive, because the works of God are not limited by the understanding of man, but God works in ways that are beyond our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but Jesus comforts him. He's saying, hey, the things of the flesh are flesh, and the things of the spirit are spirit. Nicodemus, you've always lived in the flesh. How can you understand the spirit when you've always lived in the flesh? This is why you can come in here. You can be confused. You can feel isolated. You may feel like you're not like everyone else. Maybe you feel like you're a step behind everyone else. Well, hey, you're who he was talking to. He said, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be confused. In fact, he told him, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus, don't be amazed. Don't be shocked and confused, but just obey. Don't worry. Don't be confused that I say you must be born again. Just obey and be born again. And then Jesus gives the explanation. He says, the wind blows where it listeth. So this is the answer to why Nicodemus should not be marveling, why he should not wonder, why he shouldn't be discouraged. He's saying, don't wonder if the wind is for you. Why? Because the wind blows where it listeth. The wind blows wherever it wants. The wind reaches wherever it wants. For you, it means no matter what your situation, no matter how far you feel from God, my friend, the wind blows wherever it wants. And when someone is obedient, no matter where you're at in your life, no matter how deep the darkness and the chaos, suddenly the wind begins to blow and it reaches you right where you are. And the wind begins to envelop you and begins to change you. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The wind makes a sound, and everyone that is born of the wind, there's going to be a sound that comes forth. 2 Chronicles 16 says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for someone whose heart is perfect toward him. See, his eyes are on you today. His hand has worked for you. His hand has reached to save you. But it is his breath. It is the spirit. It is the wind that after his eye has looked on you. His hand has worked to save you. It's the wind that breathes life into you. Somebody needs to respond today. This altar's open. If you know that you need the wind of the Spirit of God in your life, you don't have to marvel. You don't have to feel excluded. You don't have to feel hopeless. But my friend, the wind blows where it wants. And God wants to blow into your life today. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. You never lived a day of your life that you were beyond his reach, that you were beyond the reach of the wind. But God can blow the wind to wherever you're at. There's no circumstance that is too far. There's no problem that is too great for the wind of God's presence. Come on, would you talk to God? Every head bowed, every eye closed across the building. Come on, every person under the sound of my voice, you ought to open your heart to the wind. It's more than just believing. It's acting on what you know. It's acting on what you feel. It's surrendering your own way. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't figure it out in your mind. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But thank God, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Come on, everybody in the building, pray. You ought to be crying out to God. I'm thankful for a Spirit that gives life. The Spirit that gives hope. Come on, you were in darkness. You were hopeless. You were abandoned. You felt like people in your world had forgotten about you. But God never forgot about you. It's the wind that reached you. It's the wind that blew into you. Come on, give God praise across the building.
You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. Restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our